Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and today we're going to get started on our Summer Mentor Monday series. So this is going to be an opportunity for us to talk about some basic stuff, go back and pick up some of the topics that we sort of touched on earlier in our episodes. We're going to be talking in this first one about hand stacking. All right, we covered this pretty in depth. We covered this sort of basically in episode 2. So we're going to go into a little bit more depth now, and we're going to focus on each of those specific pieces that we talked about a little more carefully. So my recommendation, go back, listen to episode 2 again, and you're going to be ready to roll on this one, okay? So we're going to do some things here. We're going to teach the dog to stand up without having to stuff food in its mouth. This is a big one. It's a real personal pet peeve of mine. I know you can do it, and food should be the reward for a job well done that the dog knows how to do. It shouldn't be your go-to instantly. The only way you can get the dog to stand still is if he's got a mouthful of food. Number one, it's not attractive. Number two, there's times that you're not going to be able to give him a mouthful of food, and then what are you going to do? And number three, it really doesn't give you the winning picture that you're looking for. Clean, easy, simple, professional, those are the things that are going to make you stand out in a crowd. If your dog can stand up and look good without dribbling chicken crumbs, you're going to be a whole lot more successful, okay? So we're going to work on that one. The next thing I want you to do before you get too far into this one, go back to episode 5 and really revisit the concept of firm, fair, and consistent, because what we're doing for the show ring is training our dogs. We're not just sort of wandering in with a pocket full of cookies. And so if we're going to train our dogs, the firm, fair, and consistent concept is what's going to get you the furthest down the road and make you the most competitive in the long run for what you're trying to do, which is be successful and not waste your entry fees, right? Okay. I also would suggest you spend a little bit of time and listen to our episode with Janice Hayes. She talks about quiet hands, and this is going to be really important as we're going on to this expanding on the basics topic. All right, so now you've got all your homework done. Episode 2, episode 5, episode with Janice Hayes, and we're ready to start talking about some of our common battles, some of the things that we run into all the time with our dogs. I run into them. Everybody runs into them. So the dog that wants to rack back, right? The rocking horse, the dog that wants to shift his weight off his front end. What we're going to emphasize here is balance. We want to make sure that that dog is balanced and comfortable. And I find that a lot of times the dogs that are going into this rocked back or dropping their top line or kind of turning around to look back at you, they're actually doing that because they've had food stuffed in their face all the time. And they're waiting for that food. And so we're going to go back to the basics, and we're going to sort of retrain if we have to, or emphasize our training of how to teach the dog to stand up. And the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episode and the practicing just having the dog be still. No food. Just still because you asked them to do that. Reward them with praise. Maybe reward them with a small piece of food, but not you shove food in its mouth in order so it will hold still long enough for you to place its feet. Okay? Again, this is about balance, and it's going to also take us forward into our next kind of common
problem, and that's the dog that just has to move that foot. You put them down, and it moves one. And you put them down, and it moves one. I remember showing Basset Hounds, and you'd stack them up, and you'd put that tail up, and it was like a lever in the body. You put the tail up, the left rear goes forward. It was miraculous how that worked. So what I want you guys to do is really focus on keeping that dog stacked in a balanced way so that it's comfortable with where its feet are. If the dog is constantly moving a foot, it's probably a good indication that you don't have the dog settled on its own 4 feet. You're asking it to push further than it's comfortable pushing. So if you need it to have an extra half an inch of stretch behind for whatever reason, whether you're wanting to give that particular top line picture or whatever you're trying to do, you're going to need to train it to do that. And you're going to have to ask it to do that over a period of time and not just assume that it's going to be comfortable wanting to do that by itself. Some people find the best way to do that, to expand a dog past its comfort zone, is to use those stacking blocks. You set the dog up on a table, and then you set the dog up on the ground on the blocks, and you set the blocks to be in the position that you want the dog to be. And I think that that is a very useful tool if it's not overused. I'm still going to always favor just basically training the dog to stand still by standing with them and working with them and teaching them slowly and carefully where each foot goes. Ask them to hold it for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, break, and start over again. I'm old-fashioned. That's what works for me. Find what works best for you and for your dog. Practice with a couple different methods and see what's actually going to get the desired results. Most important thing that I've found is keeping that dog balanced, standing up squarely and comfortably on its own space. The next one that we're going to talk about a little bit here, it sort of flows from that balance, is the breed appropriate stacking. So every breed is different, right? We understand that what an Afghan hound looks like is not what a bulldog should look like, is not what a Chihuahua should look like. And so my favorite thing is to take a picture or find a photo of a dog that you admire in that breed, a good profile when photo of that dog, and tack it up and put it where you can see it while you're practicing with your dog. So if you have a practice mirror in front of you, just to the left or just to the right, wherever it works, hang up this picture of what you want your dog to look like. And that way you can look at your dog and look at the picture, compare them, see what you need to do to adjust it. And keeping a dog stacked in the manner that suits the breed, that allows you to make that picture for the judge, which we've talked about before, that takes a little practice. Once again, this isn't something that just sort of happens by accident. You got to put a little effort into it and a little bit of work until you know from looking in the mirror that when you look down, that dog's legs are in the right place, it's up over its front, the top line is what it needs to be, etc. So another area that we're going to occasionally run into problems is, particularly as we start showing our puppies this summer, they're going to maybe be a little bit over exuberant, right? They're going to be a little too happy. Happy legs, happy feet, happy to see everybody, want to kiss the judge, want to kiss everybody. That's a good problem to have. And I think that it's important for us to remember to keep our composure. And it's important for us to understand that they're puppies and that they should be having fun, that this is fun. And just because you're a little bit embarrassed is no reason to be angry at your dog. So we can work with that exuberant puppy, and having that enthusiasm is actually a benefit. We don't need our 6-month, 3-day-old puppy to be a robot. We need them to have fun so that when they get to be 3 years old and we want them to be a competitive special, they still think this is a good time, right? So take your exuberance and just kind of manage it a little bit. And so if they won't stand still, you get to the show and they're just so overwhelmed and so excited with everything going on, I suggest you go back to our very basics, like episode 2, once again. Do a drill with the dog. Stand, stay. Good. Break the dog. Yay, good boy. And move through a series of exercises that you've practiced at home that are familiar to the dog, that make sense to the dog. The dog is going to be happy to have that routine. It's going to make your puppy more comfortable. It's going to make it all sort of make sense to him. And he'll say, okay, wait, we know how to do this. We can do this. So if you have two or three sort of practice drills outside the ring for in half an hour or so before ring time, you're going to have a lot better chance to get that dog's head in the game and ready to be, within the realm of reason, presentable to the judge and able to be examined and competitive. Dog has a good time. Judge gets to see what your dog looks like on his best behavior. That's how you do it. You've practiced, you bring it to the dog show, you practice what you practiced, and then you go in the ring and you put it into actual performance. I also love fun matches. Fun matches are a wonderful, wonderful tool that give you an opportunity to proof your dog in a show ring setting. Not everybody has them. Okay. Unfortunately, they're fewer and further between. But if you find a fun match and you have a young dog, take it. Take it to the fun match. If you have the opportunity to participate in a 4 to 6 month beginner puppy competition, do it. Do what it takes to expose your puppy to the various and sundry stimuli that they're going to run into at a real dog show that's a whole lot different than the backyard. And even different than handling class. There's more commotion, there's more people, there's more stuff, there's more sounds. I also really strongly recommend that people take their young dogs to dog shows when they aren't entered. Don't feel the need to enter that puppy at 6 months and 2 days, unless it's ready. And the only way it's going to be ready is if you've been taking it to dog shows consistently, regularly, more than once, since long before it was 6 months old. I really think that we ask an awful lot of our puppies and then are frustrated because they don't perform to our expectations without us having given them the foundation they need to do it right. I'm going to tell you a story now. This is a story on me, okay? And I'm going to use it as sort of a teaching moment. And this is a 911 call. You know, what do I do if this happens? And this just happened to me, so it's a good teaching tool. I had a young dog that had just been returned to me from a pet home that had not had a lot of the exposure that my puppies would normally get to dog shows from that 4 months to 10 months time frame. And she'd once or twice been to a dog show, but really nothing consistent. She'd been to a couple training classes, but not a lot of exposure. She was in season, already a fiasco waiting to happen. So to add to the situation, this young female was in her first heat cycle, right in the middle of it, very hormonal, and this has the potential to create a little bit of discomfort for the dog and a little out of sorts, just like sometimes we don't feel very good. So we gotta always remember that the dog feeling well is part of the deal. But here I was with this young dog, and the co-owner had shown her the day before. She'd been okay. So I took her to the ring and walked in, and the judge came up to do the exam. And this dog, who I had no expectation of doing anything other than standing there, just sort of lost her mind and caught me quite a bit off guard. I still don't know what happened, if the judge startled her or exactly what went through her little doggy brain, but the bottom line was she didn't want to be examined. So I was caught off guard, but the basic principle that you always have to remember with our dogs is that if they have a negative experience and react badly to it, and then their bad reaction allows them to not continue the experience they didn't want to have, it reinforces the concept that pitching a fit or having a tantrum or flinging themselves to the ground or whipping around and growling at the judge or any of those sorts of behaviors will get them out of doing something they don't want to do. Okay, now understand, this isn't something we want the dog to know. We don't want them to think that. And so my reaction with this young dog was not, I'm embarrassed. It was not, I'm mad at the dog. It was, okay, honey, you have to do this. And so we insisted. And it wasn't pretty. And really, at that point, that's not really the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is that she needs to understand that if I ask her to do something, that she needs to do it. This wasn't being hurt. This was being touched by a safe stranger. And so I insisted that she stand there and let the judge go over her. I was not mean. It's very important. You don't want to hurt the dog. You don't want to be harsh with the dog. But you do need to physically insist that they stand quietly, even if the judge isn't touching them. As soon as you lose control of the situation, I guess is what I would say, you need to maintain your grip on yourself and on the dog. And it can be hard. But 911 is you hold on. And if the dog doesn't want to do something, you have to say, nope, we're standing here until you relax and accept that this is how that's going to go. As soon as we were through in the ring, the judge was very kind and very, very patient with her. And of course, we didn't win and shouldn't have. We went outside and had what you might think of as a teaching moment for the dog. And I set her up and asked people I knew and trusted to go over her. And this is immediately upon leaving the building, immediately upon following up with this, so that it was still fresh in her mind. Because remember, dogs don't understand a punishment or a training or a teaching that happens the next day or 10 minutes later. They're over it. So this had to be very immediate and fresh to her. I happened upon people I knew. They went over the dog. We didn't make a big drama about getting in her mouth or doing anything else. It was simply stack her up. Nope. You have to stay here, touch, 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 move on. Next person, stack her up, touch, 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 you have to stay here. And that just sheer, for lack of a better term, I'm going to go continue with insistence. I insisted that she stay there through that. And this is sometimes very hard for us as people because we feel compassion and, oh, she's scared and, oh, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And those things are true, but we also don't want the dog to learn that fear is necessary or required or going to get them their own way. And so she settled into it, and we did that for about 10 minutes, and then that was good. She got a good girl. She stood through those exams. And then later that night, there was a fun match, and I took her to the fun match. And again, it was a person that was judging that I knew and trusted, and we went through it again, and she had lots of opportunities to be touched and get praised for standing still, and what a good girl. And that was it. I put her away. The most important thing, I think, when training a dog that maybe is going through a rough patch or whatever it is, don't push. Once you've had the positive experience, once you have had the dog successfully complete whatever this task is that you need it to do, whether it's stand still for the exam or retrieve a 400-yard blind, it really doesn't matter. Once they have accomplished what you've asked them, then you need to stop. And in this situation where I had a bitch in season, in a new environment, completely overwhelmed, I didn't show her again the rest of the weekend because it's not worth maybe 1 point to me to potentially set her back to the beginning of this progress we've made. And so once she's out of season, we'll take her, we'll do more work with her, we'll proof her, we'll do all of the things that are needed so that the next time she's actually entered in a dog show, she's ready, she's going to have a positive experience, she'll be exposed to it, she'll be trained for it, and we'll be ready to move forward. But the 911 is, if this happens to you, make sure you insist that the dog at least be still and settle down, and then you can move on to fixing the problem down the line, not in the ring. Okay, covered a lot of ground here. Back to basics, standing up without feeding the dog, firm, fair, and consistent, balance to keep the dog from racking back or dancing with their feet. Make sure your dog is stacked appropriately for its breed, quiet hands, what to do with your happy puppy, how to make that work out for you, and what do you do in case of an emergency in the ring in terms of the dog's behavior. So I hope that that's been helpful for you. You guys have a wonderful day, and we will catch you on the flip side.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.